Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's do it. Everybody ready? Excellent.
This meeting is being recorded.
The Danzig mesh meter is off the charts. We're in a Danzig mesh high alert. Welcome.
The bland never played.
Never played, Rob.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We did it?
I thought everybody was hearing it but me.
No.
I didn't want to say it.
I thought you were doing a live read for Danzig before the show started.
I was like, all right, nobody's saying anything, I guess.
Damn, I got everything right but that. Let's try it again, baby.
We'll do it live.
Fuck. This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. There's a massive heat wave sweeping the nation this week. You can tell it's bad because Danzig has gone from mesh t-shirts to mesh tank tops. The sweaty, pasty gun show is in full effect. Delicious. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
The Danzig mesh meter is off the charts.
So is... Are tank tops less cumbersome than mesh shirts? I would think
no,
the opposite.
No, they're both mesh.
Oh,
from a mesh t-shirt to a mesh tank top.
I get it.
Yeah, he doesn't want the sleeves.
Rob, play it a third time.
Welcoming you to the Metal Injection Live Cast.
I'm just so happy that it played that I didn't hear all the content.
You can tell it's bad because Danzig has gone from mesh t-shirts to mesh tank tops.
There it is.
I get it now. I was a little slow.
Delicious.
It's hot. It's okay. We're all working at three quarters. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. It's Rob here with Sid and Darren. Noah's not here this week, but we do have Axel Rosenberg from Metal Sucks. We're very excited to have you here, Axel.
Thanks for having me. It is always fun to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show. Axel clearly wins best dressed of the night.
He had a job interview or something?
No, I dress like a big kid now.
Wow. Even at home?
Yeah. I have pull-up diapers and everything.
Are you wearing slacks? Or is it Humble just
brag.
From the waist up?
No. I'm wearing shorts.
Okay. That's fine, then.
Supporting. He knew he was going to be on a very popular stream, and he wanted to, you know, put on his natty threads.
I like it.
If I wear, like, monsters, I feel like a teenager, and shit starts to go south real quick. So it's almost like a reminder to myself that, like, oh, yeah, I'm almost 40 years old.
Wow. Well, I'm over 40. I don't know what my excuse is.
You're less neurotic than I am.
I don't know, maybe just about different things.
Have you met Sid?
Yeah.
Well, Robert? You can meet Sid right now by giving us a call, 213 Wide Nut. The phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. 213-943-3688. It's the Metal Injection Livecast.
Let me express myself.
No.
Quick reminder, we are on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We post clips, video clips from the show throughout the week. And, of course, if you want to watch the full video archive of these episodes, you can get it on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. For $5 a month, you get access to all the video versions of the episodes and at least two bonus episodes a month. We've been doing two a month lately. And this month, we had some good ones. We watched some old Metal Injection sketches, and at the top of the month, we watched the absolutely atrocious Kiss at the Phantom of the Park.
The Phantom of the Park.
Unbelievably bad, like one of the worst mistakes in cinematic history.
Legendarily bad.
Mm-hmm. I never saw it until we did this, and I've seen like the behind the music where they talk about how shame they are. I totally understand why they're so ashamed. It's unwatchable.
But we did it. You also can't know, like you'd think you have an idea before you watch it, and you're wrong. You don't know how embarrassing it is until you actually watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of embarrassing, July 1st, right around the corner, it's this Thursday, which means a brand new episode goes up. And we just recorded a fucking hilarious watch along to Mean Man, the Chris Holmes story. And Axel, I know you're a big Chris Holmes fan.
I didn't know that was available for viewing already.
Oh, yeah. It is on Amazon Prime. And
what the shit?
It is incredible. It is an amazing.
All right,
watch.
We gotta wrap this up. I got shit to do. I had no idea. All right, well now I'm gonna get your watch along, and it's gonna be like you're there with me.
Patreon.com/Metal Injection Livecast. That's where you can watch it starting this Thursday. Darren, what were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say I'm not gonna spoil the movie, nor will I spoil our Patreon. But I want to just say one thing as a teaser. I really went into that film like thinking Chris Holmes was a big, dumb, like lovable oaf. And the movie transformed my opinion to thinking he's a vile scumbag and disastrous human being.
He's a vile.
There's no hiding.
Sorry for anyone who's been under the illusion that he was a lovable oaf.
Right. I mean, maybe I was ignorant is my point. I don't think I followed Holmes' journey enough to know.
You're telling me really is that his movie about himself that he paid for and produced makes him look like a vile scumbag.
Awful. You have no idea.
I don't think there was a way to edit it to make it look any other way. It's the only story to tell.
It's very
similar.
Assume what happened is he doesn't think that the events portrayed in this film make him look bad, is what I think. I think he thinks that it humanizes him.
Or he thought that he needed the money and he needed a thing to sell more than he cared about what his image was.
What money, though?
Anything above zero is more than he's got.
Yeah, I
don't know. He is getting, from the looks of the documentary, he did get some club gigs in Europe for his solo band. So
it seems like he can probably do that and maybe be on like the third stage at some festivals.
Yeah, there was definitely one of those.
Right, and that he can like use for music videos, so it makes it look like.
You've seen 25% of this documentary in the three
from the video.
Yeah.
The videos are
like shot for shot.
But there's not enough of him talking in the videos.
Yeah.
Is when he always really just guys in his fucking element.
Well, he said some new shit, didn't he? Didn't it emerge that he said something racist?
Oh no, that was old.
He said something racist a few years ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's my point: is I didn't know enough about Chris Holmes to know that he was a piece of shit.
He said he had to move to Europe because hip-hop has taken over the American market and all the white kids want to listen to hip-hop too.
Oh. And gangster rap, which hasn't even been relevant for 20 years.
It was just ridiculous.
And Alex Skolnick heard that quote and was like, I guess I better start writing rap songs.
Holy dude.
Has he done any more since the election or is that over?
He has not done any more, but he has commented on a hot political topic, which is our first story tonight, which we will get to. Which I love it when musicians get political.
He going to talk about? Like Trump is gone. Trump's like playing golf every day. Like what is there for him to say anymore? Sum total of his ideology was Trump sucks.
Well, he's actually talking about Brexit, and it's in. Response to Bruce Dickinson. Now, I'm not sure if we talked about this when Brexit was happening, but Dickinson, who a rich musician with his own little corporate interests with his
he owns an airline company,
happened to be for Brexit and said it would be good for bands and that.
He owns an airline company. Everyone's going to want to escape Britain now. I think he should be for Brexit. all the racists taking over.
So in 2018, in an interview, he said, if musicians were running Europe, Europe would run a lot better because we'd all get on with each other and say, yeah. Iron Maiden is global music. We have fans everywhere. I don't see a problem with touring Australia. That's not a part of EU. There's no problem with touring Japan. That's not a part of EU. I don't see a problem with touring America. Oh, let me see. That's not a part of EU. Do those musicians have a problem coming to Europe? No. Interesting thing about Brexit was that I was one of the people that voted for it. I'm quite relaxed about the idea. There's a lot of nonsense and scare stories being made up by both sides, actually, and I think it's pretty immature. Brexit will enable us to be more flexible, and I think that Europe will get an advantage from that.
So before we delve into Alex Skulnik's response to this, what is he? Do we get the impression that he's like just ignorant and dumb, or is he for the like racist aspect of Brexit?
You're asking if Bruce Dickinson is for the
like? Is he siding with Brexit because of the racist, or is he just misinformed rich white guy?
It's hard to say because his explanation there didn't really say anything that he thought was good about it. Just said we can be more flexible.
He didn't really say,
Hold on. There's a little more to the quote. Brexit actually opens our borders. Brexit opens the UK to the whole of the world. Whatever deal is going to get done on Brexit will not change the status of the UK very much, but I think it'll enhance our economic capabilities.
So can I chime in? Is it possible that he's just so stupid that he thinks Brexit is the opposite of Brexit? Like he's on the wrong. He thinks he's on the other side, but he's not, and he's on. He's pro Brexit.
Wait. Here we go. Let me just read this one last part, and I think it'll help.
There was another reason he was in favor of it, which we should read just in his defense. But maybe that's what you're about to read.
So, and rapidly after that, people will forget about all of this nonsense about Brexit and just say there's a new relationship with the UK. That's it. End of story. And we can all get on with doing what we should be doing, which is getting on with each other, trading with each other, making music, making love, and making sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't come and end up ruling our country. What?
But he also said that, like, he thought local governments were better equipped to handle their citizens' needs than the EU. So, like, that's ostensibly the Republican argument, right? It's like a states' rights.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then what did he say yesterday, Rob?
So there's a video clip. Like, let's see now, 2 years on. Now, so for the less politically inclined among us, can we sum up Brexit very, very simply? Like, basically, there's the European Union and the UK didn't want to be a part, right? And what are the ramifications here? It's harder to travel. It was much easier to travel. You only needed one passport to travel through all of Europe and the UK, which you wouldn't have to stop by customs. You could just go right through. And then there's just tariffs, essentially, right? It's taxation and tariffs, right? Is that the basic gist of it? All right. I think I got it. All right. So with that said, here is go ahead.
John Oliver has always did a wonderful thing about it, where he explains all of the ramifications, including how it could lead to a divided Isle yet again. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
So here he is on Sky News this week with a different tone. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Can we keep a count of how many sentences he finishes? Just ring a bell every time.
That was it.
Come on, Patty.
it was a stage show.
Come on, England. Come on, Donington.
Come on, Patty.
In what world did he think that, like, afterwards everyone would be sensible?
I don't understand, like, how it would be more sensible when you're no longer cooperating with the EU. Like, what did that
mean? But it's also, like, he said musicians would solve it because we'd all get along. It's like, oh, really? All musicians get along?
Yeah, first the guy Biggie and Tupac so soon.
And the guy who once quit his band?
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the band don't count as musicians. He just means frontmen.
Oh, God.
Also, yeah, musicians have never got into silly arguments about how big their logo is on a fest flyer or where they go on in the arrangement of the festival. It's all everyone just, you know, they're cool about.
They're wonderful at allocating budget.
Yeah.
Hey, do we really need this?
And so to kind of close the window here, when Alex Skolnick responded, he retweeted this video. And he said,
Trump's
big he says, big admirer of Bruce Dickinson as vocalist/pilot/fencer/entrepreneur, etc. And probably none of my biz as a modern-day colonist.
End
but,
of tweet there.
Yeah.
But what the heck did he think was going to happen, siding with Nigel Farage of the world, the Nigel Farages of the world, and voting hashtag Brexit. Et tu, Bruce?
He wrote et tu, Bruce?
He wrote et tu, Bruce? He did.
God.
I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say you added that, but no.
No.
Can't.
Yeah.
There it is. Et tu, Bruce?
No,
Bruce
actually, it's Bruce.
Like Bruce.
Oh, you're right.
Douche chill.
Oh.
There we go.
So I think the buried lead here is that Bruce Dickinson has a one-man spoken word show. What is this? Why? Who asked for this? What's it about?
That's a, like, does he just need money? Like, why is he doing this? He just wants to get, he's tired of his wife and kids and wants to get back out on the road.
I don't think he needs the money. I think like he craves the spotlight, I think probably.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, if I can't sit at home all the time.
Maybe he thinks the rest of his band has COVID, so he wants to just be on stage by himself, still make money.
Well, it is pretty crazy because the situation in Europe is pretty dire, which is like it's so wild to me because, like, if you asked me 9 months ago, I would have assumed Europe would have gotten its shit together way quicker than the U.S. and the U.K. even. The U.K. has their shit a little more together than the rest of Europe. And it's actually been a big problem. A bunch of bands are canceling European tours or postponing them from the summer and the spring. Like Slipknot did it, Meshuggah. It's not enough countries are open back up yet. It's pretty wild. I guess they don't have a pharmaceutical industry that the government can subsidize to encourage people to then get the jab. Subsidize, thank you. So that the government can encourage people to get the vaccine.
Well, I also think that it's partly because the United States just doesn't give a shit if people die, so they're just opening things like preemptively. So it appears that we got our shit together more, but it's really just because...
Do you think it's too soon?
Oh, I think the decisions are driven by profits and not by, you know, whether are going to get sick and die or not. And, you know, not that that isn't the case also in the UK, but I think possibly to a lesser extent, you know.
The UK is just as open. This is the Europe.
I'm sorry, in Europe, not in the UK.
Yeah,
but I think that it's, you know, you can't judge by what's going on in the U.S. because in the U.S., just because things are open doesn't mean that there's not a crisis going on.
That's true.
I mean, everywhere you go, it's just people piling on each other without masks on now. It's disgusting. It's like we're in New York, right? So the five boroughs. You know, 40% of people in the five boroughs are not vaccinated. So you're just going to open the door and let everyone come in without a mask? Like, the shit is still here. What sense does that make?
People just want to have their buffalo wings with their friends.
Fine.
And watch hockey. Yeah.
Do it over Zoom, motherfucker.
But then you get buffalo sauce on your keyboard. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's inconvenient.
Maybe you're out of wet wipes.
Open everything up then. You're right. You swayed me. Just like the Chris Holmes documentary.
It was all his idea.
Add it to the list of shit he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though things have opened up, I really haven't taken too much advantage of it. I've went out to eat a few times, and that's really it.
Same.
I haven't gone to a show yet or anything like that, or like a bar.
Axel, how about you?
I went to a couple of restaurants and I went to a couple of movies.
Oh, you've done the movie thing.
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore.
What movies?
I saw Tenet on the IMAX because I never got to do that. And I saw Quiet Place 2. And last week I saw F9, The Fast Saga.
Oh boy.
Yeah. How was that? Was the good crowd response for F9?
It was a weird crowd response for F9. Like, Shea Whigham, do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
The actor who, like, repeatedly gets his nose broken throughout the franchise?
I've never seen a Fast and Furious movie, but I know who he is from Boardwalk Empire.
Okay, well, he's in all the Fast and Furious movies, and the running joke is that his nose keeps getting broken. So he has a quick cameo here, and he got, like, a huge entrance applause, and I was like, wow, this crowd is pumped. And then Jordana Brewster, one of the main characters in the franchise, walked on and silence.
Fucking patriarchy.
I was like, that is fucking bizarre. But, yeah, the movie's way too fucking long. You could feel the energy deflating from the audience pretty quickly.
And what, if anything, were they doing to, like, respect, like, COVID spread or whatever?
So I didn't know this going into it. Up until now, it's still been distanced. So, like, if you buy it, all the seats are reserved. And if you buy a seat, then, like, all of the seats around you are no longer for sale. When I got there on the other night for F9, that was not the case. That had been the case when I bought the ticket. And had stopped being the case in the interim, and I didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. So I was seated next to some people. So
Jesus Christ.
I'm vaccinated. Hope for the best.
It's worth it to see F9, right?
Sure. It could be worse. I could have. I got nothing. Yeah, no, not a great, not my wisest decision, but you know.
You go to see F9, you get some C19.
I think you'll be fine. I don't think it's...
Yeah, I'm not worried.
You'll
about
be
it.
Fine. You might pass it along to someone who's unvaccinated, but that's on them.
I don't know anyone who's unvaccinated. That's the thing. Like, I have, you know, it seems at this point, like, the people who aren't vaccinated don't want to be vaccinated. And so I, you know, like, I don't... What do you do with those people?
Well, I'm not putting it on anybody that's going out or anything. Like, I should preface this by saying I understand, like, the impetus to want to get out of your house. Like, it's been 15 months and all that, and like, people who go do things are not the problem, you know what I mean? But I just think it's really not time to be that, like, brazen about it. I think vaccines are good. Everyone should get a vaccine, but you got to do other stuff in addition to the vaccine. It's a tool, you know, and you still got to wear masks, you still got to stay away from people, still got to wash your hands frequently. Like, it's not like you got a vaccine and now you're fucking Superman, like you're invincible, which I think is the prevalent opinion right now. And it's fucking dangerous. Like, it's a great way to make a huge petri dish for variants and stuff that could evolve beyond vaccines. And also there's 40% of people walking around that aren't vaccinated.
These are all good points.
Be careful.
And make out with a few people.
What?
If they get tested and you both tested and you both feel safe, go ahead and make out with somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. Just be careful. Like everything else in life, we've got to be careful now.
Another person that I think should be careful is Courtney Love.
Uh-oh.
Friend of the show, Courtney Love. And, you know, I've spoken in the past of how my opinions on Courtney have changed in recent months and recent years. We talked about it. We did a watch along of Kurt and Courtney on our Patreon a few months ago, and it was so revealing of like how unfairly she's portrayed in that documentary, which is not how I felt when I originally saw it as a kid. I thought that she was public enemy number one at the time. So, you know, I feel like she got a bad rap. As much as I enjoy joking about her, being responsible for the death of her late husband, I now look back and see how it's an unfair, perhaps sexist criticism, and she was not treated fairly by fans or the press.
I have a question that's been like floating around in my mind. I was wondering what your opinion is, Rob, specifically. How much do you think that film did anything to promote that thought about Courtney Love, or was it just like a barnacle on the burgeoning movement to like slander her?
Sorry, is that the Nick Greenfield one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did it have any kind of impact, or was he just cashing in on that?
I think it did have an impact in like how, you know, like there was that like 9/11 was an inside job documentary, mm-hmm. Like Loose Change or whatever that was called, and how like everyone would be like, oh, you got to watch, you got to see. It's like, even if people didn't see it, it put it in their head that there's this whole documentary that exposes how like Courtney Love could be responsible for this. So I don't think as many people watched it as much as heard of it, because also it wasn't available anywhere for the longest time. There was like one copy at like one Blockbuster in Brooklyn, I remember.
I saw it in theaters, one of those.
Wow. Oh, nice. Were people cheering when Courtney Love first came in, and then
yeah,
when El Duche?
Yeah. Well,
nothing.
When Shea Whigham walked off, when Courtney Love walked off, there was no reaction.
When Courtney Love punched Shea Whigham in the nose at that scene, yeah.
She probably has. She's punched a lot of people, so the odds are.
Go ahead.
I think it lent like because Nick Broomfield was like maybe respected is the wrong word, but like a known documentarian,
and he had a British accent,
and he had a British accent. I think it like lent weight to that sphere for some people.
Yeah. But if you watch it now, and I really do recommend watching it, or perhaps checking out our watch along on patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast, you really do see how he had nothing. It's a 90-minute like delay. Like just he really was stretching. There were so many like long shots of a highway or whatever, just because he needed to do something. Yeah, it's incredible how bad it is, how much it doesn't hold up, especially like seeing as an adult and like realizing, you know, oh, it's all like the thoughts are silly. But with all of that said, I don't know if Courtney Love is on. I don't know. This is probably insensitive to say, so I'm going to say it. But like perhaps she's on some new medication or something, because she has been very active on social media in a way that she hasn't been in a long time. And saying some wild things. And this week she made some headlines. I didn't cover on our site, and I don't think actually you covered it, but we're going to talk about it here because we have no standards on the Metal Injection live cast. But so she, quote unquote, called out 18-year-old pop star Olivia Rodrigo over similarities in concept art. And so Olivia Rodrigo, first of all, I back her. Yeah, this is her.
Yeah.
On the and, video. She's a pop artist. She put out an album earlier this year, and it's really good. It's a pretty good album. There's some.
Listen to the whole thing?
Yeah. There's a lot of there's a lot of slow ballady pop songs, which I'm not as a fan of, but if it's not a slow ballad, it's like an upbeat kind of riot girlish pop punk song, and I really like that, and I'm very glad that there is some form of rock music in mainstream pop culture, something that I feel has been lacking for a while but slowly kind of creeping back in. But anyway, so she has a live like a online live concert that she's doing, and then here is the cover art for it, which Courtney Love reposted, and so it's basically Olivia Rodrigo as a prom queen with some flowers. She has the crown and her eyeliner is running because she's crying. And it bears much similarity to the whole Live Through This album cover, right?
Sure.
Let me pull that up really quickly.
Pull it out, Rob.
You okay
there?
Okay, so here's the comparison side by side. I mean, it's like not exactly, right? I mean,
makeup, crown, flowers. Okay.
Yeah, the expressions are different.
I see your point.
I guess the background colors are both similar-ish.
So Courtney Love initially posted, spot the difference, # twinning, and it's like, oh, it's playful, you know?
Yeah.
But then she also posted on Facebook the same thing, and then she seemed much more upset about it.
This is why you have to follow Courtney on all the social platforms, because she has different takes on each one. This is very
exactly.
smart.
Can I just interrupt for a second? I don't think that was that playful. I thought that was like snarky, the Instagram one.
I mean, I guess in the context of what she said on Facebook, it probably was, but without that, you might have thought it was playful.
Okay, so she posted it's the same thing, but I guess on Facebook she actually responds to comments.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
fucking boomer.
I guess some fans were saying like, did they hold it up? It's not different. Like, relax. And then so she goes, it's on Geffen, the label. She says, I've informed her and I await her flowers and notes. I sure hope it's long. Does Disney teach kids reading and writing? God knows. Let's see. Yes, what? This is rude. Rage inducing. Honey, if I had a dollar for every time this happens, I'd be real rich. I guess the commenter said it was rage inducing. That's the bitter. Which for me, it's like Olivia Rodrigo is the most popular pop star in the country right now. And it's like, she, look, I will say it's like clearly paying tribute to Courtney Love, because even in this original Instagram post, you could see a little further down that Olivia Rodrigo actually commented. Wait, I thought I saw it. There we go. Love you and live through this so much. Like, so she's paying tribute to Hole.
And also, this, you said this is just to promote a concert. This isn't even like an album cover?
It might be like a live album cover down the line. But yeah, it's promoting a live stream, essentially.
Who gives a fuck? It's like some random photo she took. Like a,
who gives a fuck anyway?
Yeah. But, okay, if she was like selling her album and trying to profit off, then I could at least see the path to being upset about it.
Yeah.
But this is like literally nothing.
It's like the Big Lebowski.
The
oh, sorry. Sid.
No, go ahead.
You know, the Big Lebowski, like, you're not wrong. You're just an asshole.
Yeah.
She's got a point, but get over it. Like,
does she have a point?
I don't know if she does,
I do,
like,
it seems like at best, or at worst, rather, it's an homage.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, a 56-year-old woman picking on an 18-year-old on social media is not a great look.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you.
You know, like, if it really is that much of a problem, hey, I hear you're in the music industry. Call somebody.
Well, apparently, and one of, she's since updated, like, she's sending flowers and a note. I can't wait. Maybe she just wants to chat with Olivia. She goes, stealing an original idea, not asking permission is rude. There's no way to be elegant about it. I'm not angry. It happens all the time. And I'm very gracious, or I say nothing. But this is bad form. It's not bullying or bomb throwing. This person's music has nothing to do with my life, possibly never will. It was rude, and I have every right to stick up for my work. There's a lot of
typos. So she took the picture for that album cover, for that whole album cover?
It's her concept.
Also, like, maybe this is showing my age, or maybe this is like my lack of Hole fandom. That album was a big deal when it came out. Is that cover still iconic? If I take that cover to 118-year-old kids, are they going to know what the fuck it is?
No way.
They're going to be like, this looks like the Olivia Rodrigo life.
Well, maybe that's what pissed Courtney off.
Well, but that's why I think she should say
it. Like, everyone's going to see this and think of her and like, no.
I mean, that's what she hopes, probably.
Well, I think Olivia Rodrigo helped her in that sense, because it's like now people have something like a reference here, you know, like, you know, I can listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just 3 16-year-olds probably like Hole now that didn't like a week ago.
That's good. I like Hole. That's fine.
I just hope like another Il Duce didn't show up at Olivia's house now.
Oh, no.
Well, she killed him too, so.
Oh,
yeah.
But like, you know. If she, during this concert, if she covered a Hole song, would Courtney Love be angry at that too? Because she's she's covering an album cover. It's not like she's denying that there's a connection. So, like, how is it different from covering
a song? I don't understand.
What's
I just feel like we see this kind of thing all the time, and it's not usually, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a clear homage.
Yeah.
So why, what makes this photo different from all other photos?
She didn't give credit. She wants credit. She's very credit oriented.
Got it.
But maybe she would have if she had been given the chance before Courtney jumped on it right away. Because like she's in
the Instagram
like comments, right?
She's saying she's sending flowers. So.
Yeah. Very strange.
Well, she will keep you posted. Metal Injection Live cast stars, don't worry. We will keep you up to date on the feud of the century.
Courtney Love is fucked up and has been for as long as I can remember. So,
And then like a few weeks ago, she said some crazy shit about, Trent Reznor and Dave Grohl, which I don't even really want to repeat.
You have to now.
Yeah.
All right.
Teaser right there.
Well, she's.
Do you want me to say it so you didn't repeat it?
Yeah, do that.
Sure. Do it. So
she said that, Dave Grohl and, and Chris Novoselic were taking advantage of a contract that she signed in grief right after Kurt died and that she was going to contest it in court. But more damningly, she said that she and everyone in Hole had seen Trent Reznor and multiple members of his crew abuse girls as young as 12. And then like 24 hours later, she took that.
Yeah, she said, I need to apologize for my recent post. It was insensitive and it was wrong. No matter how I feel, there are real people behind my words and I need to learn to be more responsible with my words. I am truly sorry for those I've hurt and I will do better.
And then she picked on Olivia Rodrigo instead.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she picked on the 12-year-old herself.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I don't doubt that Nine Inch Nails at some point or somebody in their crew did stuff like that because they were a touring rock band in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, and that happens a lot. So, all right. But she probably was just like, you know, they could, like her lawyer or whatever, was like, you know, they could sue you for saying that, right? Like, unless you have actual evidence.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no, okay, let me take it back. I don't want to get sued.
You know what? That's a great point.
It's probably true. I mean, you probably say that about most bands of that era, and it's probably true.
Yeah, maybe.
Different right. times, though.
Very uplifting conversation here.
Happy Tuesday.
The heat wave.
Yeah, my whole apartment just browned out.
Oh, really?
No.
Yep. Looks like the light kept getting darker. I turned off my AC. So
take the shirt off. Get comfortable. Come on.
Hey, man.
So you got to subscribe to my Patreon for that. By Patreon, I mean OnlyFans.
That's right.
I have
some subscribers, I bet.
Yeah, I think good.
When are we getting our OnlyFans off the ground? What's going on, Rob? Dragging our feet here.
Yeah. Gonna miss the window.
I'm too shy. Well, let's lighten the mood a little with some sports talk. I don't know if you guys keep up with the Tour de France.
It's pronounced France.
Oh, Tour de France? Oh, Attila?
I'm sorry, Rob. I thought you said sports for a second. I'm sorry. I'm going to do bicycling instead.
Cycling isn't a sport?
Nah, you know, like real sports I'm talking about.
Well, so a spectator, you know, I feel like this happens in baseball all the time. A fan tries to catch a ball. Sometimes it becomes a problem, right? Because it could have been caught, and then like the spectator catches it.
Even that.
So just really quickly, if that happens, is that a home run? If the spectator pulls the ball and
if they reach into the playing area and prevent a fielder from catching the ball, then it's not a home run. If they take the ball away from the fielder while the fielder's reaching into the stands, then it is a home run.
Yeah.
So, like, if the fielder goes out of the playing area to try to get the ball, he's allowed to do that, but the fans are allowed to fuck with them once they cross that line.
So if the fielder is jumping up in center field and his hand is now in the fan area and he's past the fan area, the fan can then grab the ball out of his thing and it's a home run.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
It depends who is invading whose space.
Yeah.
Has that happened?
It happens more as a foul ball.
Yeah,
because
right.
usually the home run area is not accessible. Like the stands where the fans are in the home run area is not that close to where that could happen. But it happens fairly often, like reasonably often in the foul stands.
Right, so then it would be a foul, right?
If
the fan – right, okay, I understand. Okay, so this is not that, but maybe a little similar. Here we go. So the spectator held a sign.
She's like posing for a picture.
Oh, gosh.
He's still falling down.
And so basically one cyclist
Is that guy okay, by the way?
The cyan guy? Yeah, he's fine.
One cyclist falls over, and then it leads to essentially an entire crash, like dozens of cyclists fall over. Here's the fallout.
Yes.
This is it.
Good
and everyone's
God.
Like, yeah, what the hell? See, this is why cyclists need to practice social distancing.
Oh, my God.
So what did they do? Start over? Like, since everyone fell?
Well, those first few people were lucky. They didn't fall. So I don't know.
That seems like a rough way to determine who wins.
I can't believe the guy with the sign isn't just running right now.
Well, I believe it was a lady, and I believe that the Tour de France is now suing her.
Oh, okay.
Or she should have just got on a bike and pretended to be in the race. All the bikes are free
now.
Right?
Oh, the aerial shot is even better.
Yeah, it's the best.
Boom. Everyone. Oh, but people are still going. So is that like a DQ? Like this?
Let me look up what happens.
Yeah, it should invalidate the whole fucking thing. Why?
The spectator fled the country.
Oh, my God.
Good. Only allowed to do that because of Brexit. No, I don't know.
This is just delightful. If your entire competition could be brought to its knees by this, then come on. That really isn't a sport at that point.
You know, I have to say, when I was growing up, my mother was very into watching the Tour de France and also like the New York Marathon and things like that, right? And I would sometimes pop in and watch it with her when she happened to be watching, you know. And I can honestly say, in my entire life, this is the most interesting thing that ever happened
back
Tour de France. Like, it is so fucking boring.
I mean, of the actual competition, yes. The Lance Armstrong, like, the behind-the-scenes insanity of that was interesting, but that wasn't the actual sport. That was,
watching the guy ride a bike.
Yeah.
It was a fun.
There's no drama.
Certain color shirt.
And I can say that I appreciate their athleticism. Like, I don't mean to belittle the talent that it takes to do this, but it's just boring to watch. Like, I sit there and watch it on television.
Yeah.
So when a bunch of them fall down like bowling pins, that's fucking great. It's the best.
So I want to say it did not stop. They did not restart it.
Wow.
Like, someone ended up winning with blood coming down from their It looked like a small little gash.
Just been through a fucking zombie apocalypse. They've been through Dawn of the Dead. They just rode through
Is the guy who caused the pilot, like, on the ground alive after being run over by 700 bicycles?
Yeah, there's no mention of any death.
It's just bicycles. It's not like it's cars or anything. And they all weigh like 90 pounds apiece.
You wouldn't want all of them on top of you at once. You wouldn't want to be at the bottom of that pile.
I mean, depends on
some people have weird fetishes.
Well, Ted's got his thing. Fair enough.
Check the Metal Injection Livecast OnlyFans for you.
That's right.
20 pilot.
Rob, God damn it.
We're working on it.
Oh, at the Metal Injection OnlyFans, we're always up.
Except not literally on the website is not up.
Yeah.
But everything else.
That's some fun sports talk. Sports.
It's a couple weeks in a row we had sports talk, right? Last week with the baseball player whose pastor was having an affair with his wife.
Yeah. As soon as Noah leaves, we start doing sports
all of a sudden. Next week we're going to do MMA recaps.
Oh, she likes that though.
Maybe she'll come back for that then. We'll see.
What else is going on in the world? Axel, I actually want to get your opinion. Something we've been talking about on the show these last few weeks is, of course, David Ellison and leaving the band for, you know, some reasons.
Well, he didn't leave. Yeah.
So what is your take on Dave Mustaine firing David Ellison?
Total fucking Duclos.
Do you think he did it because of the sex tape leak? Or he was just looking for an excuse?
The second thing. That seems to be the consensus with like everyone I've spoken to, is that there was already something amiss and this was just like convenient.
What do you think David Ellison could have possibly done to piss off Dave Mustaine? Well, like, he seems like the
ask for a raise.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, see, that's something we talked about a few weeks ago as well. You know, Ellison was essentially a session player. He wasn't an equal partner in the band. The band is strictly Dave Mustaine, and he hired guns. And when Ellison came back in the band, he had to agree to that. And that was like, he had so little going on, you know, he was just like, all right, I guess. And it was great for his career.
He's the session, player that managed to never piss off Dave Mustaine for 30 years. The one guy.
Well, there was a bit where he sued him, and they had to get over that. Yeah, when he originally left the band, there was a big lawsuit.
Oh. See, I need, just like the Chris Holmes documentary, I need something to fill me in on all these things about horrible people.
That's what
I think there was a lawsuit. I think it was more like Mustaine said, we're done. And then when he relaunched the band is when the lawsuit started. I might be mistaken.
Oh, hold on. Let me look it up.
But I think he restarted the band without Ellison, and that was when Ellison was like, hey, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, it's so funny because the first headline is, Dave Mustaine looks back on David Ellison's $18.5 million lawsuit. He got his ass handed to him in public.
So. I feel like we've talked about that quote before.
Yeah.
Are we sure this whole thing wasn't a setup for Ellison to just get the fuck out of there?
Well, okay, so in February, Ellison was interviewed, and he said the whole thing was because of a lack of direct communication. There was a new manager, and they were all trying to impress the client, so they're doing whatever the blah, blah, blah. So he's saying they never got a chance to talk to each other. They were only talking through intermediaries, which is why he went to sue him.
That's what everybody always says, though.
Yeah.
That's what Guns N' Roses said. That's what Misfits said. Everybody always blames the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean we're going to find...
Also, Ellison converted, right? Or, stepped up his Christianity game a lot.
Yeah, he's a pastor.
Yeah.
I remember on the Megadeth cruise or, one of these Megadeth, retreats or whatever that they would do, one of the draws was that there would be, a morning sermon with David Ellison.
Oh, you're right. I completely forgot about... What the fuck? That was the one where you could, sleep on Dave Mustaine's lawn.
What?
Yes. Okay, now I remember. It was a retreat at his house in San Diego, somewhere in California, that it was impossible to sell this property that he had forever. And so he decided to set up a retreat with glamping. It was we definitely talked about this on the show. It was fancier tents, but you're basically sleeping in his backyard, and you get the privilege of watching a concert in their backyard and hanging out with them for an hour and having dinner and whatnot.
Yeah, I think you get to be in the room when
you watch the concert on a screen, not going anywhere near these filthy people.
yeah, that was bonkers. Maybe. Did anyone do that? I wonder if they must.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it happened.
Some people.
But it didn't happen again, which is what makes me suspicious.
Maybe he finally sold the property?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe then they were let's do a cruise now. And then
that
whole thing happened.
Dave was what if we didn't do this at my house?
Yeah.
Yeah, what if we do it literally anywhere else? Literally anywhere else. Even the open water, I don't care. Just not at my house.
Do we drown them?
August 20th is the first date of their tour. Kicks off in Austin, Texas. Megadeth, Lamb of God, Trivium and Flames. So that's when we're going to find out. I mean, I want to say that's when we're going to find out who the new bassist of Megadeth is, but it might just be a session guy for the tour.
He also said they're going to re-record Ellison's parts for the new album, and that he wasn't sure yet if that would just be a session player or the new addition.
That, to me, says that, whatever it was, Dave is, mad. He doesn't even want him getting any fucking royalties.
Yeah.
No extra money from the band. He's completely cutting him. It's because, to say that, that's big. That's a lot of money to have to go in and record new tracks. It's
just
not.
The base.
But
it's a lot of money saved that you're not paying Ellison, that you're paying someone who gets a smaller cut. So it may cancel out.
I didn't mean it's just the bass, it's not a lot of work. I mean, it's just the bass. You could really leave it if you didn't really hate this guy.
Unless
that big of a deal.
There's another possibility, if you want to get really conspiratorial.
Yes, of course.
That the initial allegation that Ellison had groomed someone and that she might have been underage are true, and Mustaine knows it. And he's like, I can't have this dude on my record.
I mean,
well,
better safe than sorry.
Look, it's the thing about the report is
It only said that she was 19 at the time of their first sexual interaction. So if they were talking for 2 years, she was definitely under. But like, to me, it doesn't matter. Well, I mean, in the sense of like,
you think age is only a number. It should be fine no matter what the age.
I think the other way, like, even if it's legal, it's still inappropriate. Like, for a 60-year-old man to be camming with a 19-year-old girl, there's something not quite right there.
I think what's inappropriate is just that a 60-year-old man knows how to do that at all without having to ask his own 19-year-old children how to set it up for him.
And he did.
That was his imagine how that kid feels. Like, this is why I did tech support for you, Dad. Come on.
I'm just asking for a friend. So.
Yeah.
Look, I want to be fair. He's only 56. He's not 60. Oh. The 4 years.
Wow, the same exact age as Courtney Love.
Oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
Why can't the two of them be camming?
Oh, I mean, they probably could, but you don't want that.
Do you think Ellefson had eyeliner on when he was crying after getting kicked out of Megadeth? Probably not.
I think he originally met her on Omegle, and then things went from there. She got him on the camming.
They met at a signing, apparently, and then they started communicating through social media.
Did the video get out? Do we know?
What's that?
How did the video get out?
A friend of hers posted it, allegedly. Well, she claims she sent it. She recorded it. His sex video partner recorded it without his consent.
Okay.
And then she sent it to a few friends as a goof, and I guess one of the friends got upset and started calling him whatever she did, and then leaked the videos, which is against the law. Which then at that point she committed a crime because that is a revenge porn law.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he is he's going out there and he's pursuing this. So that should be interesting.
Well, he's got to do something, right?
Like, I don't, to me, I feel like pursuing it just keeps it in the news and like gets more details out that makes him look bad. So like, why do that and not just like move on and forget about it?
We also don't know like what's going on behind the scenes with him and his family.
Yeah, you know, like, that's true. It could just, I can't imagine how his wife and his kids feel. His kids are apparently all older than this girl.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're in their 20s.
Yeah, so that's got to be awkward.
Time you find out a parent had an affair, it's awkward. Mm-hmm. I don't know the age, like, I mean, I think they're just probably pissed off that dad cheated on
mom. I think
that
makes it worse.
I mean, it makes it worse, but it's bad either way.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with it if the person you cheated with was 52.
Yeah, if it was Rita Ford, fine. But the 19-year-old, no.
It's a super group.
Certainly nobody could have accused him of doing any grooming if she'd been 52.
I mean, it's grooming a different part of the person.
Yes, exactly. I wasn't trying to make that joke, but you probably did a better job of it.
I mean, if he helped her download the Zoom program and told her how to use it, that's a kind of grooming.
Sure.
He sent her the link.
Just wait till it turns out it was Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, no.
Oh, we're just gonna, it's going full circle now.
She's his next.
Well, you know,
I had video sex with David Ellison first. That's my fucking note.
Then they can have a pay-per-view MMA match.
Well, you know, the Olivia Rodrigo album is about a painful breakup, so it could just be about Ellison. Now I have to go back and listen to the album with that in mind.
God.
It's just how Rumors get started.
Rumors, another great album. Heart, wonderful. Oh, no, that's not Heart.
Jeff,
I messed it up. Damn it. Damn it.
Heart, come on.
Close.
Wow.
What was their album? They had a few.
Oh, Rob.
They're wonderful.
Let me live.
All right. Well, speaking of music, why don't we talk about the music that we all picked for our... Our Metal Injection Livecast music break. Every week we each pick a track. We add it to our Spotify playlist. Just search Metal Injection Livecast music break. Metal Injection Livecast will come up. And of course, our podcast is also on Spotify. It's on everywhere fine podcasts are delivered. So I'll kick it off. is Nine Inch Nails. Down in it, sometimes in my car, if I don't, if I'm not playing an album, it'll just randomly shuffle my music library, and this came up, and I'm just like, oh, fucking great song. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd put it on the playlist. So that's my pick.
Now I'm down in it.
Now I'm down in it. So, Darren, what did you pick?
I picked a Popdigma Berserk, doing a cover.
Bless you.
Metallica. Thank you. Fade to Black, because it was suggested in the Discord by Jander, our patron.
Oh.
And it was so good. I really liked it a lot. I usually hear so many bands, like we talked about Metallica doing that covers thing, and so many of them suck ass. Like Metallica is such a cliche band to do a cover of. And when I hear one that's actually good and puts a new spin on it, I love it. So I picked it. I put it on the playlist. Thank you, Jander.
Sydney.
To continue the 90s classic rock revisited trend, I picked Blow Up the Outside World by Soundgarden, which is a song I hadn't thought about in like 20 years, but I was binging the show Rutherford Falls on Peacock, and the best episode of the season ends climactically with that song. And it was the first time I'd even thought about that song in forever. I was like, oh, this is a really good fucking song. I'm gonna put that on the playlist.
Good show?
Good, not great, but good for a binge.
And Matt, Axel, what did you...
second time already.
Yes, shit. What did I choose? Pyrocene by Genghis Khan from the newish Genghis Khan album, Dream Weapon. I love the band. The album's very different from the older stuff. And I just want as many people to hear it as possible.
Yeah, it's really good. I really like the album as well. It has my two thumbs up.
What's your favorite song on it, Rob?
Pyrocene, definitely. The one that Matt picked.
God damn. Almost there.
Actually, I like the last track. I thought it was like a good ambient closer.
It's
like the weirdest one of all of them.
The whole thing's really good, I think. But
yeah, it's a
Pyrocene
good, like,
gets the party going with a bang.
Darren brought up the Metallica covers. We talked about it a little last week. I think it's a cool idea. Axel, what do you think about this, like, 100 covers thing?
Or 53.
When I first heard about it, I thought it was a terrible idea. Now that I've started hearing the covers, I'm like, oh, okay. I thought everyone was going to do these, like, rote recreations, like the opposite of what Darren was saying. And it feels like people are putting their own spin on things so far.
And you like that.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I wish that they had divvied the songs up better so that there weren't 15,000 versions of Sad But True and like one Through the Never or whatever it is. But I get it. Like, you're asking people to do something. How do you tell them they can't play Enter Sandman?
Yeah, I assume it's just the artists picked what songs they wanted to cover.
I get it. It just seems like it would have been cool to have spread the love around. There's good songs on that album that don't get played every 15 seconds.
Yeah, and Axel and I have a connection to the Black album in that we used to do a booth at Comic-Con, and we basically found that, initially we found that like, oh, the only metal that will actually draw anybody to our table is Metallica, and then eventually refine that to realize it's actually only the Black album that gets the best amount. And as ridiculous as it sounds, like, we would put on the Black album and immediately like four people would form the booth. Like, it worked every time, to the point that we would only have the Black album on loop. And it was miserable. There were years. Yeah. It's been years. I've only last week went back and listened to the Black album. And it's been a few years since we've done a Comic-Con booth because I was so traumatized.
I'm in the same boat. I just listened to it for the first time since whenever we did our last Comic-Con booth, because I was like, I can't with this shit.
There's some deep cut bangers on there that really don't get enough airplay, I think. Like,
what was known as Side B in my day is fucking awesome. And like, that's the shit that nobody really seems to talk about.
Darren, what was your take on the Black album? We were talking about how you went back and listened.
It's like a mixed bag to me. It's like, there's some classic
like great iconic songs, and there's a lot of filler that is boring to me. Like the last two songs to me are just complete. Like you could have cut the album off after track 10 and that would have been a perfectly good album. And they just wanted to fill 75 minutes of time or whatever it is, you know? But
you know, we're talking about the Black album and not Load, right?
So hold on. So
I like
you
the
don't
end
like
of Load more than I like the Black album.
You don't like Struggle Within or My Friend of Misery?
No. I mean,
My Friend of Misery is awesome.
It's a good riff. It's just a good riff and just a repetitive riff, and the lyrics like make no sense really. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. What can I tell you?
Don't Tread on Me. I was another one that I remember you saying, but like,
maybe
the cheesiest song.
It's not a horrible song, but it just went from, you know, like a song. Their previous album was, you know, if you go to war, you're going to come back as a quadriplegic or with your limbs cut off and banging your head against the wall to do Morse code to tell people to kill you. And now it's like USA, like, you know, don't fuck with America. Like, how did that happen?
It's weird, for sure. But it's also still a really catchy song. So.
It is. It's a catchy song.
It's also weird that it opens with West Side, with a, like a piece of West Side Story.
Yeah, what was that about?
Like, such a bizarre choice that has, other than the theme of America, really has nothing to do with the subject at hand.
And that song is like, the lyrics of that song are like kind of counter to what they're saying in the song, because that song is kind of taking a big dump on America.
It's
Puerto Ricans arguing whether America is good or bad.
It's a weird decision all around.
Yeah. Really? What? So can I ask you to talk up My Friend of Misery and like what you love about it?
Oh, I don't.
My Friend of Misery. Sorry.
I just think the entire album, like the reason that the Black album is this iconic thing, is because it's just insanely catchy from start to finish. And that's all. I mean, My Friend of Misery isn't my favorite song on the album, but I'm not like, oh, I wish this wasn't even here. Like, I like My Friend of Misery a lot. What's the last one?
Struggle Within.
I guess I would more lean towards what you're saying, but I would still take it over anything on anything that Metallica made for the following 25 years.
I don't know. I think their last album is like actually really good. Like,
okay, but until then, but when did that come out? 2016?
2016,
Okay, so that's 25 years in between. That's a long fucking time, and it's not like they weren't making albums then. They were churning shit out. It was all really bad, in my opinion.
I think I just always qualify my critiques of Metallica with saying that even the bad shit that they've done, like, I find something in it to like, you know? Like, even Saint Anger, Rob and Sid made fun of me on this show many times because I say there are strong, like, nuggets of songs there that just never went through the normal production process of any band that would take a few seconds to actually produce the album.
I agree. There's, like, some good riffs there. Mm-hmm. The production's terrible. Everything's too long. Everything everyone has said.
I feel like both Load and Hardwired have both jumped ahead of the Black album for me. Like I listened back to it recently, and it's just there's like three or four, maybe five great songs on there, and the rest of it just drags to me. Like it's just boring.
And then you hear Ain't My Bitch, and you're like, yeah, this is my jam.
Well, that's a little unfair because Ain't My Bitch is like easily the worst song on that album, and it sucks. But I feel like if we're looking at a aggregation of both albums, like I feel like on average Load is better. It's just deeper. Like I feel like more introspective songs and some of them as a whole piece of art, it's just a better album.
What's the best song on the album?
Bleeding
if
Me.
That's the worst.
I think it's the best song on
it. Isn't Ain't My Bitch like a staple of their live shows? Don't people like generally like that?
I don't think so.
No?
They didn't play it on the Hardwired tour. When
I think
I thought that was
Fuel
a pretty popular song.
Fuel is definitely the one there.
Which is on, that's Reload. But.
Yeah.
One of their biggest hits.
If I'm not mistaken, I feel like Fuel is the only song from either Load that they play, right? At all.
They play Hero of the Day sometimes.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that.
Until It Sleeps, I feel, is probably in their set list. King Nothing.
I think Load is the start of... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, King Nothing is the only song I like from that.
I think Load is the start of them like starting to not give a shit and play what they felt like playing, and then it went like the pendulum swung too far to like when Saint Anger came out, then it's like, or maybe you should start giving a shit a little bit, you know.
And then they needed a little while to remember how to give a shit.
Yeah.
So it took a few more albums to actually.
Well, Saint Anger I didn't like. The one after, what was it? Death Magnetic. I thought it was all right. It was in the right direction. I liked it. And then I actually really liked Hardwired. I think it's a good album. It was one of my favorites of the year.
Death Magnetic is like Hardwired.
Good.
Yeah. Death Magnetic is basically the same thing I just said about Enter Sandman. I mean, about the Black album, which is that there's like a few memorable, really good tunes on there and a lot of shit. Like a lot of shit, but worse, way worse than, like, the Black album's just boring. Like, to me, there's no real bad songs on there. It's just boring. And then it spikes, and then there's really good parts, and then it's boring again.
Is it boring because it's boring or because you've heard it so much?
I was bored by it when I first heard it.
Okay.
Like the flow, but I think I sort of like maybe deluded myself, and I was like, well, I'm a big Metallica fan. I was like 17 years old, so I have to like this. But I think as I age, I sort of get more in touch with my real feelings about it. But Death Magnetic has just a lot of pure garbage on it. Like, there's a lot of shit.
That's My Lifestyle Determines My Death Style, right?
No, that's Saint Anger.
No, that's
Saint
Anger.
Damn it. Never mind. I just figured the death and the death style. It must be
along
the
with
album.
You flush it out. Flush it out.
Oh, my God.
And Frantic Tick, 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 Tock.
Oof.
Well, one of the things that I love about Metallica is the lyrics. Like, the lyric is a big component to their songs. And the lyrics on Saint Anger, like, there's a few hidden gems in there, but there's just a lot of inanity. It's just like raw screaming at yourself and like stupidity.
See, I always thought Hetfield was a shitty lyricist.
Think so?
Yeah. So like, I always loved Metallica, but I was just like, I don't find meaning in his lyrics.
And it varies. Like, I'm completely willing to admit that. Like, there he has.
Yeah.
He can bomb. I think in a sense he's sort of like a lyrical savant. Like, I think he doesn't completely know what he's doing, and some good stuff comes out. A lot of good stuff comes out, and then sometimes shit comes out. That's a good sign that somebody's just getting it from the ether, and there's no like real process there. You know?
I believe there's no process there.
Drinking was the process, but then it's less the process. I guess now there's still some.
I have a feeling we're gonna hear some new Metallica very soon.
You mean like original songs and not covers and not
Symphony stuff? Yeah, I mean they've been writing. They haven't kept it a secret that, you know, through the pandemic they would jam and they're not doing anything else, so they have to have songs kind of that they're kicking around that are pretty far along.
No, they can't.
I think we're still like 5 years away from the next Metallica album.
I don't know. Like right now, obviously they're just focused on this box set, and I guess that's probably going to take them through the end of the year. So maybe early next year or in the summer of next year. It's been 5 years. Awesome. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, that's true. There's a song on Death Magnetic that there's like a completely different version of that I saw them play live like a year before the album came out. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying like it seems to be a long process for them.
Oh yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I think like they did that song, like Lords of Summer. Is that
that's the song? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, because they put that out a year or two before the album came out. And then, yeah, it was.
They used the riff in a different song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They used the same riff from Lords of Summer. They changed everything else.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I don't even think that. I think that ended up being like a bonus track. It's not even an official part of the album.
Yeah. Sounds right.
I'm like fading into this background here. All right, so that's our music break. What else we got going on, fellas?
Tell me.
Well, today there was a story where, you know, Sammy Hagar, he's been a bit loose-tongued, decided to give David Lee Roth a piece of his mind.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he wrote a song called Fuck Trump.
No, he probably likes Trump.
He wrote a rap called Fuck Trump.
Oh, rap is not a song, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, he's old, he's white, and he's rich.
Yeah. So likely to be a Republican.
Well, there's some funny quotes in here. So credit to Blabbermouth for transcribing. But so he was asked to – now, personally, I prefer David Lee Roth any day. I don't even really listen to Sammy Hagar or Van Halen. It doesn't – it never – it felt too dad rock to me. I'm not – I don't know. How do you guys feel about Hagar Van Halen?
I hadn't listened to it in years, and when Eddie died, like, revisited a lot of it for the first time. And, like, I think dad rock is a good word for it. I don't think I think I feel about it the way Darren feels about the Black Album. I don't think a lot of it's bad, but I find most of it pretty boring with a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, that's a fair.
It's just not
like
as fun.
Yeah, the old stuff is so fun, and the earlier you get, the rawer it is, and it's so dirty, and like I really love like the faster stuff too. So once they get into the more ballady stuff, I'm kind of checked out.
Also, it's really very clear that it was music that's consciously made to get on the radio, which I'm not against, by the way. Like that's fine, but the fact that it's the same band that was Van Halen, that I feel had that raw energy that you described, the fact that it's the same band, you can't help but compare the two things, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, though, and we've covered this on the show, David Lee Roth's voice is gone. G-O-N-E, gone. It is not coming back. He cannot sing. It is a bigger, maybe an equal waste of money to go in to see Motley Crue at this point.
Because... I was going
to
say, I heard it elope with Vince Neil's voice. They bought a retirement chair.
They should both go far away from where anyone can hear them.
Yeah,
but David Lee Roth's cameo would be fantastic.
True.
So at least he has that over Vince Neil.
And I will say though, Sammy Hagar's voice still going strong from the random live like Eddie Van Halen tributes I've seen. He still has his voice. So credit to him for that. So. And he is not one to be hiding that fact, because he was recently interviewed, he being Sammy Hagar, was interviewed by a Brazilian show called Inside with Paulo Baron.
Thank you for not trying to put on an accent when you said that.
Paulo Baron!
I was going to say, as soon as you said that, so he's going to do it now.
Inside with Paulo Baron! I don't know why it's Italian.
He's Mario. He's not even Italian. He's
Mario and Hoist, it's my favorite video game.
Paolo Brothers.
So he goes, David Lee Roth is a real character. He's a showman. He's all show. I enjoy him, but you talk about cringing. I can't imagine how he feels when he looks at some of these old videos, the way he's dancing and moving and the way he's singing live sometimes. I don't know how he feels about that, but I don't think he cares. The difference between him and I is I sincerely care. I care about everything I do, and I care about how it affects people, and I care what they think. Then this part
of him.
I care that it touches them and it makes them happy. And what's important to me is enlightening and elevating people spiritually and making them happy and making them have big dreams, making them want to be better themselves. And that's my goal with everything I do.
And David is against all those things.
Can we go back and read the lyrics to that song in that super group he was in, that Soap on a Rope song?
Chicken.
Talk about how enlightening and uplifting those lyrics are.
Please.
Deep.
You can
spiritual.
Go back way earlier than that. I can't drive 55.
At least that's a specific message. That's a rebellious message.
Fair.
Soap on a Rope is just, I don't know what that is.
Got money, got fame, fast cars and everything. Yeah. Is that the right song?
I think so.
I want to dance. I want to sing rock, soul, blues. Sing anything to you. Hey.
Dude, for a long time, they didn't have that yeah, and the song just wasn't working. Yeah. And then Sammy was like, I got it.
I got a woman. She fine, too. Let me do anything that I want to do. Oh, got it all. Still want more. Come on, baby. Show me what I'm looking for. Don't forget to bring your rockin' shoes. Grab a toothbrush, soap, and a comb.
Ooh,
you can take a little taste. Get your favorite buzz on. And you can leave the rest at home. Whoa. Get your soap up. And get your buzz on. On a bus, on a plane. What is this, fucking Green Eggs and Ham? In a car. Subterranean freight train.
Green Eggs and Sam. Episode title.
I'm in a room. I got... Oh my God, this can't be the right song, right?
That's it.
He said soap. Are there multiple Chickenfoot songs where he talks about soap?
That was the name. I forgot that was Chickenfoot is the name. That's right.
Yeah, the lyric page I was looking at didn't have the name of the band on it, so I thought I was just reading the wrong song. But wow, okay. And so why does he say, "I'm in a room, I got funk talking, hot damn P-funk"? Why does he say P-funk?
Or why does he say any of that? Now I'm gonna look up if it's right.
Is it like Parliament Funkadelic played on the song or something?
Maybe he's talking about that's what he was listening to when he was writing
the right song.
This.
Bringing happiness to people, Sid.
Wait, the last verse, though, or the penultimate verse, excuse me, is the best part. Darren, I think you should read it.
So after that, okay.
The penultimate.
Okay.
No. Scroll all the way down the second to last verse.
Oh, I see. Is this give me the first line that you want me to read?
Get it.
I just says get it, get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. Yow, watch it, yow.
Holy fuck!
Yeah, it's very profound.
I mean, we're all uplifted right now. Look, we're all smiling. So I guess mission accomplished.
I mean, it's no James Hetfield. But.
So
it's like Sammy Hagar is the Dalai Lama.
Oh, get your buzz on. Oh, yeah. Get your buzz on. Oh, yeah. Get your buzz on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just love getting it. So back to the quote, you know, making them want to be better themselves. That's what I go with everything I do to bring people to is to bring that to people and change their life if I can. I don't think he cares about anything like that. And that's the difference between our presence. He's very much into himself, very much into being the showman, and he doesn't really care. I don't know what he cares about. I really don't. I don't know him. I have no idea who the guy is. I don't think anyone does. But he entertains me. I enjoy watching him do stupid shit.
Jesus.
He goes on. The first thing I say is I look at him and I think, wow, he's a strange person. He's a strange character. He's not saying what he's saying he is. He's pretending. He's totally bullshit. Everything he does is thought up and it's an image. It's nothing to do with who he is. He's not exposing who and what he is. And I know this for a fact. I knew that the first time I saw him. I said, this guy's putting on an image. He's putting on a show. He goes back to his home, goes to his house. He's a whole different guy. Nothing to do with the guy you see on stage. He's not honest about his image and performance.
Who gives a fuck? Like, I'd rather a guy be an entertaining character than show us who he really is, and there's literally nothing there, which is what Sammy Hagar
is. Yeah, I have the impression that Gene Simmons never takes that makeup off. And it's just, like, spitting blood at random intervals throughout the day.
Like, what is this? It's show business, man.
Yeah, for real, dude.
So, and then the weirdest thing about all of this is that the next passage of a quote is that, like, I don't want to cause trouble.
No, God,
I want the entire Van Halen legacy to be remembered, even his part. It's like, so why are you bad-mouthing him, unprovoked?
Even his part?
Yeah.
Unreal. Even? Fuck you, dude.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. He didn't say it like that. Let me quote him properly. Okay. After Eddie's death, after Eddie's death, I feel once again he's part of the Van Halen legacy and he's important. What? Like he wasn't
once
part of the
again?
Legacy? Yeah. What? So I wouldn't want to ruin anything to do with what he brought to that legacy. I want Van Halen to go down as one of the greatest rock bands of all time, but not just my era, Dave's era as well. I want
he wouldn't
Eddie to
have
be-
an era if not
yeah.
to Dave.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very weird quotes here, but
it's good to be old, rich, and drunk.
Also, like, he's talking about how he likes to help people and stuff. Wasn't David Lee Roth an EMT for a while?
Oh, yeah, it's true. He was.
Literally helping people.
Yeah. Great point.
That's who he is when he's
yeah,
not on stage.
But you open up a bar in a third world country charging first world prices and co-opting the region's alcohol and exporting it for his own profit? I think not.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time figuring out how to make sure that the lime slices in their Coronas at Cabo are just right.
I guess I should. Mexico isn't a third world country. That's
no,
but
at least he didn't say it in a Mexican accent.
But he didn't open his resort there because it was more expensive than the United
yeah.
States.
Yeah. That's fair.
Fuck
so,
Sammy Hagar.
It's very weird.
I don't know.
Why,
like,
why even do it?
Shut
like, why
up. Yeah. Why say this?
It'd be one thing if like, at least David Lee Roth knows not to, like, he's not saying anything.
Did you explain what question was asked of him that brought this on, or did he just start talking about David Lee Roth on his own?
He was asked
about the weather.
Yeah, right. He was asked about the differences between himself and Roth as a vocalist.
I
and
see.
It just went off.
He didn't really say much about vocals in any of that.
I guess he was more focused more on stage presence.
And off stage presence.
Still asking him about
well,
the difference
he did say,
between him and David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
He did say his voice hasn't aged well.
It hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's right.
I'm not good to begin with.
Yeah, fair enough.
David
I don't know.
Roth,
so the last time I saw Van Halen, whenever that was, he was fine. Like, it was good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Sammy Hagar's
no, no, no.
voice. Oh, Dave's voice was good.
Yeah. How does Gary Cherone feel about all this? That's what I want to know. Where's he? Did anybody ask him?
To which Hagar replied, who?
Yeah. He's writing this article.
Oh, no.
He works for BuzzFeed now.
He did the transcription for Blabbermouth. He didn't even write the article. Oh, poor
Thank
guy.
You, Gary. Gary's a topic to talk about.
He's sitting on the show next week, right, Rob? We got Gary Cherone.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Mike? To mention that.
Oh, fuck. Cut this part out.
He doesn't listen to it. His publicist just told him he's going to be on.
Yeah, he's fine with it.
What about that fourth singer of Van Halen? The,
Mitch Malloy?
No, oh, my God.
Shlomo Choina.
Oh, no.
Does he have anything to say about this?
You have a quote? I do, actually, right here.
This is in Blabbermouth.
Between, it was kind of tricky that we had school. It would be school, but it would be a week. It's, okay, well, my, okay, my school has got a schedule. His schedule was similar to, Sandorm, as in, whatever.
This is one clip? Okay.
That first one was stitched together. Someone said
okay.
It sounds like they did it on purpose, make it sound like it was all one statement. He should have never left Van Halen.
Agreed.
R.I.P. a Lubavitch.
He's alive, by the way.
Okay. We don't know. It's the last time you talked to him.
In our YouTube chat comments,
uh-oh.
Uncle Ganna asks, what would need to happen for you guys to feel safe podcasting in the same room again? I would say I would feel safe podcasting in the same room again with my co-hosts. The problem is we don't have a space currently
yeah.
to podcast from. With Noah, she moved. She's no longer in New York. So that makes it a little more difficult.
Yeah.
But there might be a possibility of some things in the future.
I
but,
like
for,
how we do it now. Like I feel
yeah.
like this has accidentally been a boon to our show. And also, I also would not be averse to like doing a live show too.
Yeah.
Like occasionally.
Yeah. I feel like we've kind of kept the spirit of the show as it was before when we were all in the same room, but not being in the same room. I don't think it's that much different. If you disagree, please let us know. Email us, hatemail@metalinjection.net. We're genuinely curious what you think, or drop into our Discord. There's an invite on every episode page. I don't think I mentioned enough on the show that we have a 24/7 chat going, baby. You can talk to us. You can talk to fellow livecast fans in our Discord. And of course, once again, check out our Patreon.
You okay, Rob?
Just wanted to take a little sip of water.
Recalibrating.
I'm getting a little burpy. I do want to mention our top livecast fans of the week. And if you want to be a top livecast fan of the week,
You can. It is a Patreon tier. It is the $10 Patreon tier. You get everything for the $5 tier, which is the bonus episodes, the video versions of the episodes, Sid's column about TV shows. And at the end of every show, we give you, a Top Life guest fan, a little shout-ski. I'm going to do it in my Brazilian accent.
Yes, that was going to be my request. Get problematic.
First we have an Eric, and then we have an Arabagadoosh, Justin. How are you doing? I am Brazilian. Then we have the Benjamin and the El Dinarino. And then don't forget about the Dan R. And the Mindy Amaze, the Kipper, Iga Volt, the Croc Destroyer, Cattle Decaf, Gender, and Chaturus, the Susit, and the Crustacean, the Sensation, the Gatstomper, a Dallas, a Rubber Vampiro, I'm the Count now, a Hugo likes the tacos, and the Lando Danks, and the LaCroix, and Scooby-Doo, 182.
Is he a vampire now?
Yeah.
Brazilian vampire?
Douglas, who are you? Levison, I want to suck your blood. So those are
Vampiro! Vampiro!
Those are our top live cast shows of the week. Thank you so much to all of our patrons. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to Axel Rosenberg. Did you know that Axel Rosenberg wrote a freaking book?
What? I did.
That's right. Hellraisers, a complete visual history of heavy metal mayhem. It's out now. It's been out for a few years now, so get the fuck on it. You can get
it out now, too.
It's in six languages now, so, you know, you should be able to find a version you can read.
Brazilian?
I don't know about that.
It's not a language.
Portuguese, you know what I mean.
They didn't tell me which language it
is. Is it in Russian? I see it's in Spanish. The first result is for an Amazon España.
It's got to
be in Hebrew, right?
It's got to be in Hebrew.
And, of course, the website is metalsucks.net. You know.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always fun to be here.
Of course. An absolute pleasure. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week, and we love you. And if you copy our cover art, you better send us flowers and a note.
Mm. Cut that shit out.
The recording has stopped.
Yay.
We did it. Okay. Nice. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
That was great. Thanks, yeah. Matt. That was really, you were a great addition to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Nighty-night.
Talk to you later.